Welcome back to another edition of the Pennsylvania Prisons and Parole Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Tarkowski. We're back after a brief break for the holiday, and today we'll conclude our tour around the Commonwealth and check in with the final two facilities in our system. A bit later in the show, we'll hear from Superintendent David Close at SEI Houtsdale. But first up is a trip to SEI Huntington and a conversation with Superintendent John Ravello. Now, full disclosure here, we did record our chat with Superintendent Ravello in early December. That's just a few days before his facility was thrust into the national spotlight. So if you are here for Luigi Mangione talk, I'm sorry you're going to be disappointed. But we hope you will stay around and learn about the oldest state correctional institution in Pennsylvania. Superintendent, SEI Huntington is the oldest prison in the DOC system. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of your facility? What makes it unique?
SEI Huntington was originally constructed as a reformatory for male criminals. It was originally, it took its first inmate as a reformatory in February 1889. And then it functioned as a reformatory for several years. There were a few changes noted as I read back through some of the data, but it didn't become an official prison until 1960.
Do you know what the difference is between a reformatory and a prison?
I believe the original reformatory was more work-related. They sent them there to work and reform their behavior. It's kind of ironic because we've sort of went from locking a lot of criminals up to back to more of the reformatory. We're trying to teach them a skill, send them out, educate them. So I think the original concept, although I don't know if they hit the mark back then, but they were heading in the right direction, I'll say.
Baby steps, right? We're all still trying to get to in the right spot.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about your career. How did you get to become the superintendent at SEI Huntington?
Well, so I started my career actually here at SEI Huntington as a corrections officer, and I worked up to sergeant. I actually left here as a sergeant. I went to the Trinity Academy for about 2 years, and then I came back here, and then I took a promotion to SEI Smithfield, which is, we make jokes about it. It's like the quarter mile jaunt, so it wasn't a far commute. And Smithfield's more modern, prototypical prison. It's not old, so it was a little bit of a culture shock at first for me. And then I actually took a job at Central Office after that in the intelligence, the Bureau. Well, back then it was the Office of Special Investigations and Intelligence. And I worked there for about 4.5 years. I promoted up. I was the major of the intelligence unit. And then I left there. I was appointed as the deputy superintendent for facilities management back at Smithfield. So I spent some time at Smithfield as the deputy. And then right around the time that Sergeant Mark Bosserman was murdered at SEI Somerset, I was asked to go to Somerset and just help them out and provide any assistance I could or help that we could at the time. So I went out there as like a temporary assignment for a few months. I spent some time in that facility, and it was a grim period out there. And, you know, I hope nobody ever has to go through that again. But, you know, the staff were trying to heal, and I just went out and really walked around, walked and talked a lot, walked and talked, just was there for the staff, tried to help the administrative staff as much as I can. And then I returned back home to Smithfield. And then again, in a few months, I was asked to take an assignment at SEI Monoy to SEI Monoy as the acting superintendent. But I just went out there for a transition period until they closed retreat. They were going to close retreat. Kind of funny because I have 2 kids and a wife at home, and I wanted to be home, and I live here in Huntington County. But so I volunteered to go out there for a few weeks. And right at the time I get there is when COVID started. So the idea was to close retreat and for me to come back home. Well, now I'm stuck because they couldn't close retreat because they were going to make it a COVID center.
Yeah, and needed the space, needed the beds, spread people out a little bit. Yeah.
So I'll say it ended up not being as long as I thought it was going to be. So I was there for a few weeks. I met a lot of great people. And then I went to my next stop was SCI Rockview. I was a deputy for facilities management there, and I did that up until my appointment almost 3 years ago to superintendent here. So I did the world tour for a little while.
Yeah, but I think it's really cool for folks to know that you started as a corrections officer. When you see the COTs, the corrections officer trainees, come into your building on their first day, I'm sure you go and you meet them, you shake their hand. Do you see future superintendents there when you talk to them? Do you tell them about your career path?
That is part of my speech day one when I meet the new hires, is I started in their seat. And the sky's the limit in correction. And I actually told the class 2 days ago, I had a group of new hires, a fairly large group. There's 14 of them in there. And I told them one of them could be my boss before I leave.
One interesting thing that I've noticed since I've started my career in corrections, I've only been around 3 years, but a lot of times it seems like it's a family affair where folks have had a cousin or an uncle or a father that have worked in corrections. And that's the case with you too, right? Like you didn't come coming off the street.
No, I was in the National Guards with a lot of guys who worked here, but my mom worked in the business office here for 28 years. So she was like, you should come to the prison and work. And I was like, at first I was like, nah, I'm not interested in the prison, but I actually went to school for telecommunications and fiber optics. And I ended up as a COT here at Huntington. There are a lot of second, third generation staff here. A lot.
One of the bigger employers in the county, I'd imagine.
I think it's the largest at this point. Our complement here is 670. And I'm not sure how big Smithfield's is, but I would say that we alone probably are the largest employer.
And you're kind of have a unique setup where you're right in the heart of town. You're not in a far-flung area. You have houses right up to your gate almost.
Yes, and I think majority of the people who live across from here or in close proximity have been long-time residents. So there hasn't been a lot of changeover in those houses that I know of. And I think that the community itself has embraced SCI Huntington as being their own, really.
We'll talk about the relationship with between your facility, its team there, and the Huntington community in a little bit, but I want to talk about the facility a little bit more. What are some challenges or even opportunities that being in an older facility presents? You're not a prototypical built in the 1990s kind of spot.
So, and sometimes most inmates who come here new have a little rough time adjusting because it is an older facility and we do things a lot different. You don't have your electronic doors. There's corrections officers that allow you to come in and out of your doors. So, and there, it's a lot more one-on-one FaceTime with the security staff and the inmates. It gives the appearance of being old. Although we do, our staff here do an amazing job maintaining the facility. I mean, we are older, but our physical plant and the size of our shops and the correctional industries areas, we have a lot of opportunity here for inmates because of the space that's provided. So, I mean, just to give you an idea, our correctional industries has 5 different shops. They employ somewhere around 300 inmates just in the correctional industries alone. So, I mean, there is a lot of opportunity for inmates to gain a trade, get a job, make money to you know, take care of themselves, their families. They're not making a ton of money, but it's a good place for an inmate to come and get a trade or get educated and go home.
That kind of harkens back to the original mission of SCI Huntington that you talked about as the reformatory, teaching those in-demand skills and giving folks the opportunity to learn the skills and become successful reentrants. Can you talk about what the CI shops available at SCI Huntington are?
So right now we have a soap and detergent plant where we make barred soap. There's liquid soap. They have a warehouse training program where they put stuff in the warehouse, and the inmates manage and maintain the inventories and they do labels. And then there's the garment plant. We make orange jumpsuits, inmate browns, which is the clothes that they wear normal. They do bed sheets. They do boxer shorts. And they do some transport jumpsuits. And there's a couple specialty jobs that trickle in along the way. There's a specialty license plate shop where our inmates do graphic design. And actually, yesterday, I was in the graphic shop, and they're working on the new design for the new license plates that are coming out for Pennsylvania. So it was pretty cool to see that come out in the sticker form. So we print the sticker here, but they stamp them at another facility.
Talk to us a little bit about the educational, vocational opportunities at your facility.
So some of the vocational programs, we have a CDL program where we have a full-sized truck simulator. Our instructor teaches them the book. Right now, there's no permit or license, but they're working towards maybe possibly being able to do a permit program at some point. But right now, they at least get yesterday I was out there, and an inmate was driving the truck, working on backing the truck up, and it gives you the three-dimensional screens, and it's good. We have a custodial maintenance program. Our guy teaches inmates to do janitorial type stuff, waxing floors, scrubbing carpets. They use all the top-notch equipment. There's a flagger program. There's a really high demand for individuals going out into public to work for flagger companies where they work construction zones. So they teach them and certify them in the flagger program. And then we also have a building trades program. Our building trades program, they design a building and they build it inside from the bottom up. So they'll tear them down at the end of class, and then a new class will start, and they'll frame the building, they'll put plumbing in it, electrical. So they get the basics in that area, and it's one of the programs here that's really popular.
Between SCI Huntington and your neighbors right there, SCI Smithfield, a lot of Department of Corrections activities going on in Huntington County. I think people might be surprised to know everything that goes on in a state correctional institution. One of the reasons why we're doing this series, people might not understand all the aspects that go into keeping a facility like this running and all the programs and services that are offered to the incarcerated population. When you talk to folks in the community or even in your own friends and family, what are they most surprised about your job, SCI Huntington, or the Department of Corrections?
Most folks watch Shawshank Redemption and they think that's prison, when in reality, our prisons are a working community of school. There's education, there's trades. There is a lot of movement inside the prison, but the media does a horrible job of portraying the daily grind.
What is your staff culture like? What's your relationship with the community there?
I have to tell you, the staff here at Huntington are amazing. I'll say the work ethic here in Huntington County and the surrounding counties, because we employ a lot outside of the county, in our neighboring county. Some people drive a long way to get here, hour plus. But our staff are proud of what they do here. When we have an inspection, when the inspectors leave, they want to know how we did. And they're proud of the work they do here. So I'll take nothing away from the staff here. They're the best I've worked with.
And what keeps you coming back? You started as a corrections officer one, had a bunch of different jobs, gone all over the state, but you come back to work every day. Why do you keep coming back?
You know, we all have our challenges day to day. But overall, I enjoy coming to work, and I enjoy the people, the interactions here at work. I enjoy the challenges. You know, at this old facility, it does have a little bit different challenges, but overall, the staff and our inmate population is pretty stable. So we don't have a lot of violence here, and we have a lot of, they call themselves old heads, but we have a lot of elderly inmates who have made a life here and have been here for a long time, longer than I've been alive.
One thing that I was surprised to find when I visited your facility, the graveyard that's on the grounds at SCI Huntington.
Yeah, so there is a cemetery that's located on grounds, and previous to, I believe the latest one, was in the early 1900s. So at some point they did They did bury inmates there, and we still maintain it. We keep it in good working order. Our maintenance staff mow it. There's two veterans buried there, so we keep a veteran flag there, just like it would at any other cemetery. But it is a well-maintained area.
Does your maintenance staff, because it's such an older facility, do they have any special challenges keeping the lights on at SCI Huntington?
So we just went over a big electrical upgrade within the last year. We got a new service that feeds the institution, new generators. There's been several life safety projects over the years as far as adding fire escapes, just bring it up to code to a better code level. But I mean, our maintenance staff here are again phenomenal. They do a great job and they want to do well. They want to help. And, you know, we kind of focus our mission in the maintenance. You know, we try to be proactive and we don't, I mean, reactive is no good. We got to be proactive and stay on task and make sure that we're maintaining the equipment we have.
We appreciate Superintendent John Ravello from SCI Huntington for joining us. Now let's shift gears and visit with the Superintendent of SCI Houtsdale, David Close. Superintendent Close, before we jump into your background and what brought you to be the superintendent of SCI Houtsdale, I want to start in the very popular Veterans Service Unit, or VSU. Can you tell me about your VSU and why you're proud of it?
Our Veterans Service Unit is a housing unit that has capacity for 195 inmates. All the inmates that live on the VSU are veterans of the military, with a small exception of our dog handling program with the United Disability Services. So everybody that lives on the block is a veteran. So some of the components of the program, we have the program development team that evaluates the current programs that are offered and activities to identify the need for updates and improvements in our programming, and then they develop a strategy. Now, paired with that, we have the Patriot Times, which is a quarterly newsletter that is published down at the VSU at Houtsdale by our inmates. It provides current and relevant information on veteran and reentry related topics to the incarcerated population. Some of the things that we get involved with as far as ceremonies, every year the VSU puts on a Memorial Day service, a Veterans Day service, and we're honored to have outside guests that attend those services. The program also offers employment opportunities for its residents. We have 6 inmate program coordinators: the program coordinator, the program operations coordinator, the facility or facilitation coordinator, the communication coordinator, the mentor coordinator, and the resource development coordinator. In addition to those 6 positions, we have 35 other lower level positions that we offer down there. So there's a total of 41 of those inmates that are actually employed on the unit.
So I think typically incarcerated folks in our system have a job, but in the VSU, it seems like the kind of more specialized jobs and all working together to achieve a common goal. Am I on the right track there?
Yeah, you're correct. Because of the different programmings that we offer, and the classes and the reentry component, the programs that we offer, the newsletter, that takes a lot of coordination, which isn't done by the staff members. So we offer that opportunity to our men down there to be able to be involved in organizing and setting those different things up.
And why is it important to have a unit like the VSU? What do the men on the unit get out of it? And then what does your facility get out of it?
Well, I wish that I could show you the paintings that they have adorned throughout the unit, which they have themes, war themes, different war themes that they've painted on the walls. You know, the Vietnam, they've dedicated a section to the Vietnam War, World War I, World War II, that kind of thing. But the artwork is phenomenal, second to none. And that shows just the pride that they take in their unit. We constantly have outside agencies coming in to offer different programs, to talk about resources and services that are available to them while they're incarcerated here, but also while after they leave the facility. And some of our community partners include, obviously, the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, the Pennsylvania Board of Probation and Parole, the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veterans Affairs, Vietnam Veterans of America, the Du Bois Veteran Center, the Veteran Multi-Service Center, the Veteran Leadership Program, the Pennsylvania Department of Labor and Industry, Career Link, Pennsylvania Housing Finance Agency, Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities, so Mental Health Association in Pennsylvania, and Clinton County Veterans Affairs. These are all agencies that are very involved in the programs that we offer, and they come in and they provide us with support, programming, and education.
And it's all with a goal towards reentry, right? This is letting the men on the VSU learn how to take advantage of all the programs and support that's available to them because of their veteran status, with the goal of setting them up for successful reentry.
Absolutely. That's correct. And the guys that are down on the unit take a great deal of pride in the unit. They're invested in the program. When you get down there, the unit's always clean. They're very conscientious about the unit and the programs that they offer. They recruit other inmates that are veterans that aren't in the program. Just recently, we worked with the other VSUs in Pennsylvania here in the DOC to develop a recruiting video that is currently being played at all the institutions to try and encourage incarcerated veterans in all of our institutions to consider the possibility of going to a VSU program.
We're very proud of that. Executive producer Kurt Bope not only produces podcasts, but also a great videos. It was a wonderful visit to the VSU at SEI Dallas a few months ago, talking about the positive effects on reentry that living in an environment like the VSU can offer. Another positive step towards reentry is job skills and employable skills for the future. And one way that SEI Houtsdale prepares veteran inmates, but also non-veteran civilian inmates for the future, is with job skills like the correctional industry's commissary. Can you tell me what the commissary is, and when people might think of a commissary as one or two packages of honey buns, give folks an idea of the scope of the kind of merchandise and products that runs through your commissary facility.
So basically what we do is the inmates have an opportunity to order supplies each week, things like the tasty cakes, personal hygiene. Maybe they want a different soap. Maybe they want a different deodorant, something that they can enjoy in the cell, watching TV, hanging out with the other residents on their units. But they, again, like I said, they can also order toothpaste if they don't like the toothpaste that we offer here. They can order deodorant, you know, those kind of personal hygiene items that they're able to purchase.
And it's that's what I wanted to get to, was the warehouse aspect of it. You see the warehouses up and down the main interstates in Pennsylvania. We're all used to ordering stuff online, and that kind of stuff comes from warehouses, and those are the kind of jobs that are out there for some of the reentrants that are leaving incarceration. The warehouse commissary job through correctional industries really will prepare them for those jobs in the public.
Absolutely. The way it's designed is that inmates will fill out a scan sheet to place their order. Those sheets are then sent to our institution, and those orders are scanned. A pick sheet is generated, and inmates are deployed in various stations. And basically what will happen is that there's a conveyor system that goes around, and there are large totes, and they'll start to pick the orders. As the totes come around, if a guy's in a certain section, like say the deodorant section, he'll look there and see what items were ordered for that particular order, and he'll place them in the tote and push it to the next station, and it goes around in a circle until the entire order's filled. When the entire order's filled, we then have inmates who work what almost looks like what you'd see in a grocery store. a cash register system where they'll scan each item to make sure that it's on that order, it's on that inventory, and they'll scan each one to make sure it's accurate, and then they'll take the scanned information, generate a sheet, and place that in that order after it's verified, and then that order will be secured and placed in a different tote. And then those two totes, of course, are placed in one area and, of course, prepared to be loaded onto the truck. And we have truck drivers here who service the aid institutions that I mentioned earlier, and they'll deliver those items to them.
And like you said, the practice and the skills of, you know, accuracy and timeliness and everything like that, that's very important on the inside, just like it would be on the outside, because the men and women that you serve are ordering these commissary products. They expect to get what they paid for in a timely manner.
Sure. And so the inmates there, as you referenced, it's a great experience because they're working in a large warehouse. They get experience with quality assurance. They get experience with doing inventories. We have forklifts up there. You know, there's a variety of different things they do, and it really gives them good warehousing experience.
What other vocational educational programs are you proud of at Housedale?
Well, at Housedale, one of the programs that's important for us for a variety of reasons is our barber program. So an inmate can, through our vocational programming, become a certified barber in the state of Pennsylvania. And what's nice about that is we have our own barber shop with 2,200 inmates, and each inmate being eligible to get one haircut a month, that's 2,200 inmates haircuts, whereby, you know, we have, I think, 16 chairs in our barbershop, so those guys are always very busy. We have an instructor down there who goes over with the new students a lot of the book requirements, the educational requirements, to become a barber, and then they actually get the experience. And then they're able to, once they get so many hours in the barbershop experience, you know, cutting hair and demonstrating the different skills that they've learned, they are then eligible to take a test. And once they take that test, if they pass that test, they become a certified barber in the state of Pennsylvania, something that they can do when they hit the streets.
That's a valuable license, right? Because that is, people might not know that's through the Department of State. That is something that every barber needs in Pennsylvania. And the incarcerated men can walk out of your institution ready to go, ready to hit the street with a job.
That's correct. It's a very popular program. The inmates are very motivated to be in the program and finish the program. Our washout rate for that program is very low. Some of the other programs that we offer here are building trades. And that's a program where they go over different things, whether it be masonry, a little bit of electronics, roofing, you know, those kind of things. In our classroom, we have a small, looks like a building or a house, and what they'll do is they'll build it, and then they'll tear it down. So with each new class, they're building it, but they're getting experience framing, roofing, you know, putting in electricity, those kind of things. We also have a business education program. We have an electronics program. The electronics program obviously is a certified program, and it gets more involved in the electrical and the electronics components. We have a custodial maintenance and repair program where we teach inmates how to work on floors and carpets and upholstery. So they can go in there and strip a floor, wax a floor. They can clean upholstery. So those are valuable skills. And we also have a warehouse operations material handling program. And a lot of the inmates that complete that program end up working in our CI because they actually get certified to learn how to drive a forklift and some of the other skills that they need to be valuable employees in a warehouse.
We're chatting with the superintendent of SCI Housedale, David Close. Superintendent Close, I want to ask you about the staff culture at SCI Housedale in a moment, but can you tell folks a little bit about your background and how you got to the position where you are today?
I graduated from Penn State, a bachelor's degree, and then I got a master's degree at Shippensburg, and I started as a probation officer in Blair County. And then from there, I also worked as a drug and alcohol counselor at New Beginnings at Cove Forge. It's now under the Pyramid family of rehabilitative services. From there, I started at SCI Huntington in 1992 as a drug and alcohol therapist. And then in 1995, I came to Housedale as a drug and alcohol supervisor to develop a therapeutic community here at Housedale. And then in, I believe it was 2000, I took a promotion and went to SCI Pine Grove as the corrections program manager. I was at Pine Grove for 4 years, and in 2004, I returned to Housedale as major of unit management. And then I promoted to deputy, and I've been a deputy until about a year ago when I assumed the role of superintendent here at Housedale.
So relatively new to the role of superintendent, but definitely not new to SCI Housedale, longtime employee there. What is your favorite part about coming to work every day?
The people that I work with. The people here at Housedale have always been fantastic. It's like another family. I enjoy the people that I work with, and I also enjoy working with the inmates. I enjoy talking to the inmates, interacting with the inmates, trying to provide goals and set seeds for change. I mean, we're very invested in what we do here, and we're very proud of what we do here.
When you're talking to folks about what you do for a living, what are they most surprised by when you tell them about everything that your facility offers and everything that goes on there? What shocks people about State Correctional Institution when you're talking to them?
Well, it's funny you ask that, because the public perception usually is that when you're an inmate, you're locked in your cell pretty much 24 hours a day. And that can be furthest from the truth. You know, guys here have jobs, they have education, they have programming, you know, they're up, they go to breakfast, they're going to work, they're going out into the yard to recreate. They might be going over to the gym to lift weights. They might be going out in the yard to play softball. I mean, there's just so many things that go on here, and people just don't really realize all the things that we do to try to prepare inmates for the reentry portion.
I think that is one of the bigger surprises that I see when I'm with folks that maybe are touring a facility for the first time or have never been inside. It's not that it's there's a lot going on. It's not that it's chaos or noisy or a lot of hyperactivity, but there's always something happening inside an SCI.
Oh, that's true. We're always busy.
SCI Housedale has been operating now for nearly 30 years. Can you tell us what's if it feels like this is the right question at the beginning of a new year? What's next on the horizon for SCI Housedale in the short term and long term? Where do you see it going?
So as you said, we've been open since 1996 when we started receiving inmates, almost 30 years. Well, one of the biggest initiatives we have is we're in negotiations with PennDOT and Correctional Industries to open a facility across the street, a concrete plant. So we've gone out and we visited some of the concrete plants that PennDOT has throughout the state, and what we're looking in the future to do is to be able to construct a concrete plant over there and employ inmates over there to be able to make things like bridge abutments, jersey barriers, and of course PennDOT and some other companies would be the individuals that would be interested in our products.
Thanks again to the two superintendents for joining us today. We hope you've enjoyed our year-long look at each of our 24 state correctional facilities. We're so proud of the work being done at each of our facilities by all the talented and dedicated staff members of the Department of Corrections. You've been listening to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections Prisons and Parole Podcast. We're here with new episodes on the last Wednesday of each month. For more DOC content, you can always check us out at Corrections PA on Facebook, X, and LinkedIn. On behalf of executive producer Kurt Pope, thank you for listening. Until next time.